from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. If you're using the Bibles in front of you in the pews, it's on page 1065. Page 1065. Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, beginning from verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." And all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, for if we give some to you, there will not be enough for us and for you. But go rather to those who sell and buy some for yourselves." But while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was closed shut. Afterward, the foolish virgins came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open the door to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. And now, Lord, I would like to ask you please to take over my mind and my heart, and my words may come from you. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us. Amen. These days, looking or watching the news, you'll see a lot of people prostrated and upset at the airport. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting and been waiting for flights, and cancellations have been coming up, and there are some standby waiting for a flight and they can't get them. So waiting has become a way of life these days for many of us. Sad faces of those who made reservations late and don't get on. You don't have to be on standby actually to enter into the family of God. And it's not first come, first serve. The problem today, I believe, is not that people don't want something wonderful. The problem is not that people don't want today some supernatural power to come and help them deal with everything and all the problems they are facing. The problem today is not that we don't have enough religions. The problem is not that we don't have many preachers and teachers and priests and philosophers. The problem is not that people have turned their backs completely to spiritual things. The problem is precisely the opposite, that we have too many of all these things and yet people are confused. And because of that, people are confused. I meet daily in our business. My wife and I are business people, and I am a volunteer pastor here. And so in our business place, my wife and I meet daily young people who come in. And after we talk a little bit, I would talk to them about God and faith, and they will reject everything I say about religion. And yet, at the end, I realize there is a desire to hear more about God. There is a desire to know more about God, and yet they are waiting for for the opportunity to find out more. Now, this morning's story is an example of what's happening in religion. This example of the 10 virgins, although it has been explained and interpreted and explained and preached about maybe millions of times, I believe is a good example for us to look at and learn a little bit more about the heart of God. There were three stages, actually. Let me just give you a little, if not less than some information about weddings in those days. There were three stages to marriage in Palestine. First, engagement, often by parents or matchmakers. That has disappeared now, here at least in our society. Then, betrothal. When they were of the right age, this was binding. They were bound to those promises. And then marriage 1 year later. The couple did not go on honeymoon but stayed for a week of celebration and feasting. That is what the virgins were waiting for in this story, for that period, that 1 week of celebration. If the bridegroom lived away, there would be no way of telling when he would be able to come. It was bad to catch the bridal party members actually sleeping. So they were always ready and waiting for the bridegroom to come. So the party will start. The reception will be for 1 week. So it actually, the story in the Bible of God and His love for us is a happy story. Unfortunately, people and religions have turned it into a bizarre situation of do this, don't do that, come here, go there, pray this way, pray that way, we'll send you some books how to pray and how to... No, actually, the simple message is God loves us and has prepared a celebration, and all He wants us to do is go, accept the invitation and go there, waiting for His coming. All of us are waiting for something. It is a waiting in line society we are living in. Fast food, concerts, supermarket, bus and metro tickets for games. Most of the time we are waiting in line. As children, we can't wait to grow up to do the things we want to do. Things like graduate, get the driver's license, to get out first, our first job and make money, to get married and have kids, and buy a house, and then work and wait till we have enough money to take it easy. But then comes middle age crisis, family needs and trials, and suddenly family is gone. Many people spend all their lives preparing to leave. We all have great expectations, yet how often do we meet our expectations? Reality never seems to match what we have expected from life. We wonder, is there anything at all waiting for, worth waiting for? In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, we read, King Solomon said, meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from his labor? Then comes a retirement and finally death. What have we been waiting for? We wait all our lives and never know what we have been searching for. Solomon continues, in days to come we will all be forgotten. We must all die, wise and foolish alike. I had been chasing the wind, he says. What are we waiting for? This story tells us we are waiting for someone. not just for something or some experience, but for the bridegroom. He who will bring us the peace, the joy, salvation, and serenity. Actually, the purpose of our lives, when we add it all up, is to get ready to meet Him. God is and presents Himself as a bridegroom in this story. John the Baptist said, "I am not the Christ, but I am sent ahead of Him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom." The Apostle John wrote, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." Jesus has been pictured as doctor, teacher, king, judge, shepherd, etc. But how many of us think of Him as the bridegroom? In Matthew 25:6, we read, "At midnight the cry rang out, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet Him.'" The bridegroom, Jesus, is coming for sure. The question is, are you ready to meet Him? And here, maybe I should stop for a moment and say there are those who obviously believe in Jesus, who have made Jesus their Lord and Savior, and all this sounds so religious, so Protestant, so evangelical, so whatever you want to call it, and yet the truth of the matter is every human being wants to be saved. Every human being wants to be acknowledged as being who he or she is. Every human being wants to meet a creation, a creator. And as I said before, religions and philosophies have confused people's minds. And yet, I believe the bottom line is, when you put your head on the pillow at night and you are alone, you wonder, what is this all about? In the story of the 10 virgins, we see 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins. And I quote, "Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may be not enough for both of us.'" That is, both us and you. What was the difference between the wise and the foolish? They looked the same. They had the same purpose, which was to go to the wedding. They all knew the bridegroom was coming. None of them knew when he was coming, but 5 were ready and 5 were not. There is a preparation we must make for ourselves. The point is not that the wise should have shared their oil. The point is that there are some things that we cannot borrow or cannot be borrowed. You cannot borrow faith. My wife's faith cannot save me. My faith cannot save my daughter. We cannot borrow faith. Faith is very personal. You cannot borrow character. Your character is your own and you are who you are. There are some things that you cannot borrow. You cannot borrow, for example, someone else's character. You cannot die for someone else. You can't stand before God for someone else. The Bible says, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." God has no grandchildren. You can't do it on the faith of your parents, preacher, or your pastor. Faith is not like a rubber band to be stretched to fit any situation, but faith is like a muscle to be exercised. Lamp pictures our salvation. In Matthew 5:14, we read, "You are the light of the world." Is the oil of the Spirit in your life? Has the lamp of prayer gone out? Has the Bible become a closed book? If that has happened in your life, then you cannot expect those around you to believe in God. I don't believe that any priest, any pastor, any elder, any leader of a church can be effective by his or her sermons or her teachings or his teachings in the classroom unless they are a light where they are. And I deal with many teenagers these days because I've come to the place in my life at this age to believe that our teenagers and our children are our future. And when you talk to them, most of them are discouraged, disappointed. They don't know where they're going from here. Most of our children today and teenagers are the product of broken homes. They don't know who is right and who is wrong. They don't know whether they should believe or not believe. They don't know what marriage is. They don't know what faith is. They're confused. They've rejected everything. And we cannot blame our children. Sammy Davis Jr.'s song, "Don't Blame the Children," it always stays in your mind. Because we blame the children. We accuse the children. We send them away. We ship them out. We invite them in. And I believe the Bible says very clearly we have to be the light of the world. And if I'm not the light in my family, in my church, in my community, at my work, then how can I expect others to believe in God? Obviously, if I believe in God, and if I believe in Jesus, and if I believe in an eternal soul, and if I believe in eternity, and if I believe that I'm going to an eternal heaven or in the presence of God, then I should be excited for all this, and my excitement should be reflected in my daily life. Unfortunately, religion is like a passport these days. You order your passport, you get it, you put it somewhere, and when the time comes to travel, you pick it up. That's not how it is, the Bible says. God wants you to always be ready to reflect light and reflect God. And unless I do that, I cannot make a young person who has doubts about God, has doubts about faith, to listen to me. For that person will be watching me, how I talk, how I live, how I cheat, how I lie, and then pretend to be a Christian. Foolish virgins represent those who pretend to be Christians, who say they are Christians, and yet they don't have what it takes to meet God. God wants you to avoid life's greatest tragedy. There is a door that will be shut. That is indeed the greatest tragedy. In Matthew 25:10-12, we read, "But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. 'Sir, sir,' they said, 'open the door for us.' But he replied, 'I tell you the truth, I don't know you.'" While I was reading this verse right now, I just remembered the philosophy or the doctrine or the theology of those who believe that you can pray for the dead and the dead will be transferred from one place to another place. But the Bible says, "For to man is appointed once to die and then the judgment of God." These five foolish virgins are like those who lived their life the way they wanted, and then when they die, they expect someone else to help them get into heaven by their prayers or whatever they can do to transfer them. And the Bible says, no, the door is shut. It sounds very harsh. It sounds very ungodly to think that God can shut the door and say, "You can't come in." But God is a holy God. God has given us all the opportunities. God has given us a life. God has given us everything we need. And all He expects from us is to acknowledge Him. To say, God, You are there. Thank You for everything. Please help me live a life that will be productive and help others. He is not asking more than that. We never know in life how close we are to losing some of our greatest opportunities. There is a very serious warning here. It is possible to be too late. We can let the trivial or even urgent things forget or avoid most important things. We can't let trivial things rob us from important things. There seems to be much we have to do and we want to do. God keeps speaking, warning, inviting, but we will not force. He will not force or break down the door. I always say God, Jesus is a gentleman. He will never force Himself in. He will never break down the door. He will never brainwash you, come and give you a guilt conscience or guilt trip to say, unless you come, you're going to hell. We all know that we are born in sin. And we all know that we need to make peace with our Creator. You say, why? I'm not at war with my Creator. Well, we all are at war with our Creator because we don't acknowledge Him and we have turned our backs and we would rather go and find God somewhere else, in drugs, in alcohol, in gambling, in cheating on our husband. Husbands or wives, and we are looking something to give us something that is missing. And we can't find it until God comes into our life. But someday, all those things that seem so important and urgent, our career, success, failure, pleasure will vanish, disappear. The only thing that will matter is that sudden, unpredictable moment when we meet God and stand before the bridegroom. Yes, there is a heaven, and heaven is the result of being ready to meet God. Yes, there is hell, and hell is that eternal separation from God, which is the end. Jesus said, it is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. And Jesus Himself paid the price of our separation from God so that the door to heaven might be opened. Usually, Pauls, when they take a survey or a poll, the question is yes or no. I mean, do you believe in this, yes or no? Or undecided. But there is no undecided in God's poll. There isn't yes, no, or undecided. There is either yes or no. Are you prepared to meet God? Is your response yes or no? If your response is no, I'm not ready, then I encourage you to make a fresh start right now by inviting Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior too. And this, you may say, well, sounds just like the mantra most evangelists or most speakers have. If you want to be born again, come and pray the sinner's prayer and then you'll be saved and then you'll be going to heaven and then you'll be blessed and then everything, all your worries will disappear and all your bills will be paid and all that. No, that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus never said that. All He said is come and follow Me. And, you know, your problems may not disappear, but He will help you deal with your problems. Your circumstances may not change, but He will help you deal with your circumstances. Your commitment to something may still remain there, and yet He will help you to deal with that commitment. And what I'm saying is, I would rather have Jesus on my side dealing with my problems than have to deal with my problems alone. Someone was saying that I'm never alone, and I thought about it, and I said, yes, you will never be alone. He or she who has God, the Creator, and after all, let's remember who God is and who Jesus is. The confusion once again is, who is Jesus, who is God, who is the Holy Spirit? We only believe in one God. And God, in His deity, and God who He is, the Bible says God is spirit, and those who worship Him will, must worship in spirit and truth. And the truth is that God is God, and God is a spirit, and God can appear to you in any way He wants. And yet, He, part of Him, came in the person of Jesus. Jesus' one and only Son came to pay the price and live on this earth for 33 years so we can identify with Him. We can see Him live and die on the cross. He poured His blood. His blood was poured out for our salvation. And you say, all that sounds religious. Well, what is religion? To me, the only religion I have is the truth that God has created me. God is in control of everything. And I want to acknowledge that, and I want to follow Him. And the only person I know that came and paid the price for me is Jesus Christ. The pastor cannot save you. The priest cannot save you. The churches cannot save you. The gurus cannot save you. No one can save you except your own personal relationship with God will give you all that is missing in you. And these five virgins, the foolish five virgins, to me at least, represent all those religious people who are active and waiting and doing things, and yet they don't have what it takes, which is the faith in God, the Creator, and they have not they are not ready to meet God. And my encouraging words would be, come and taste God. God says, yes, I know you don't understand me. God says, yes, it's difficult to see me because no one has seen me, but try me. Invite me in your life and you'll see the changes and you'll see what's going to happen to you. And if you invite me, really invite me from your heart, and if you really challenge me, if you wish to change your life, see what's going to happen. And I believe God loves challenges from us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for helping each one of us this morning to be here. And yet, we are not sure of many things. We're not sure of doctrines. We're not sure of religions. We're not sure, maybe someone or some may not even sure of your existence. And yet, nothing changes, Lord. You are who you are, and we are who we are. And yet, we often do not acknowledge you. This morning I pray that the Holy Spirit may touch each one of us, may strengthen us. Those of us who have surrendered our lives to you and are following you, help us to persevere and continue in our faith, and help us to be a light where we are. If there are any here who have not yet met you or invited you in their lives, and are struggling with the question of where you are, who you are, and what you can do for them, please help them strengthen their faith and help each one of us to leave this building changed and touched by your Spirit. In your blessed name, I pray, amen.